If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke 11, verse 1. I was thinking about what to start the new year with, and then going through Matthew. I'm going to jump over to Luke for just a moment, because I thought, starting the new year, we often start with resolutions, right? We often come, I mean, that's kind of a tradition in our country, you make a resolution. And as we do that, my experience has been, in my life and in others, that we often, after a while, kind of grind down to a halt, and our resolve kind of weakens, and, you know, we're not losing the weight we thought, or we're not on the exercise program we thought, or we're not being as nice to our family as we wanted to be, whatever it might be. And those kind of things happen to us in our lives. Well, one of the resolutions that I think people make often, in fact, Frank Martin was talking about it last night a bit as he led us in prayer, was to have more quiet time with the Lord, more prayer, reading the Bible. And I know a lot of Christians who get that resolution in their heart and their mind, and they make it. And after a while, especially if you're reading through the Bible from the beginning, you'll usually find yourself somewhere in Leviticus. That's usually often throws people. But to pray as well, it seems like, okay, you're getting up, you get up a little bit early and start praying a little bit more. And over time, you kind of lose some of that resolve. You have a late night or a hard night, and you miss that one, and you miss a couple more. And so it's very easy to just kind of fall into that. And I thought about that, and I thought, okay, what can I talk about? Very practical just today. I wanted to be kind of more down to earth, very practical. What about those resolutions? And especially the ones about prayer. You know, we often start with this real desire to connect with God in prayer, and we often grind to halt. We often have times where we miss it, or we just forget about it, or life improves, or we just, you know, just can't be bothered anymore, to be honest, and we just kind of move on with our life. And what about that? You know, what do we do during those times? And how do we get back into prayer? So what I want to talk to you today about is when you feel far away from God, or it's hard to connect or focus, or it's hard to pray, what can you do? And what I call this is teach us how to pray, because that's from the words from Luke 11:1. And if you look there, it's just very basic. Just in that little chapter, Jesus has been teaching, he's been doing all these amazing things, and the disciples have noticed that there's one really distinct thing about his life, and that's his prayer life. He just does it different than other people do, than other religious leaders. Back in those days, they would have teachers, rabbis who would wander around. They'd have disciples or students with them and following them and learning from them. And it wasn't so much a classroom setting, obviously. They would walk around together and live together. So you got to see the leader 24/7. You were able to see how he lived, how he talked, how he related to family, how he related to co-workers, et cetera, et cetera. And you could judge and base your life upon them. People would model their life. Well, they would watch Jesus, but he didn't pray like everybody else. So finally, it seems to boil to a climax, and one of the disciples in Luke 11:1 just basically says this: Jesus, teach us how to pray. You know, how you're doing it. You know, like John's disciples, they do it different too. How do you pray? Would you teach us how to do this? And I thought, that is actually a very good request. In fact, I start a lot of my prayers that way. Lord, teach me how to pray. And then I'm silent for a while. So what are some things we can do? How can the Lord teach us how to pray, especially when we're struggling with prayer, especially when it's hard or we don't know what to say, we don't even have the words to express ourselves? And so let me just give you some real practical things. And they're all in your outline, inside of your bulletin. You want to look there, and there's some scriptures there for you to do this. And here's just the first kind of tip I want to give you, and that's start with scripture. Start with scriptural prayers specifically. It's actually something that's helped me a lot over my life. So actually, instead of just kind of wondering and kind of, you know, closing my eyes and being out of focus and so forth, I start with something in front of me, and I start praying from that. Now, let me give you some tips on that before I kind of give you an example. So, pick a version that reads like you. Maybe you read in the NIV, New International Version Bible, or something like that, but, you know, that's not really the way you talk, or that doesn't share kind of what your feelings are at the moment. So, there's other versions, like the Message, very paraphrased, very personal. New Living Translation is another one, kind of more the way we talk nowadays. You can get all of these at BibleGateway.com. Very simple. All of those verses are at BibleGateway.com. You just print it out and read from that. Pick a version that sounds like you, that expresses your heart as you want to express your heart. Pick a passage that's close to how you're feeling or what you want to express. I'll give you some ideas for that in a minute. And then just plunge in. Just plunge into praying this way. Don't worry about phrasing. Don't worry about if you don't understand some of the words and you don't get them. Don't worry about sounding religious or pious or holy or anything like that. You're just want to just read aloud. I would encourage you to read it aloud. So get, I mean, even if you're whispering, but read it aloud, slowly, and with any emphasis or feeling you feel at the time. Now, there may be none. You may feel just kind of dead inside. So just read it as you are. And then the other concept that I use on this is I call it springboarding. If you've ever been gone to a pool, they've got one of those, those boards, the diving boards, the ones that have a lot of give to them. You just kind of, you can spring off them and do loop. I can't do this, but you can do, somersaults and twists and all that fun stuff. You can springboard off the passage. C.S. Lewis used to call it festooning, because these are kind of festoons, they're kind of decorations around sanctuary, for example. And he said, I just start with prayer, and then I just add things to it from my own heart. So I'm going to give you an example of what I mean by these things. So you can see in your outline there, and up here, if you want to put it up here, on point one, please. There's some examples that I have here. These are some places you can go, depending on what you're feeling or sensing. Like your protection, there's Psalms 18 and 91. 18 is like the most powerful one about protection. 91 is very powerful too. If you're discouraged, Psalms 42 and 43. If you feel abandoned, alone, left out, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Fantastic for that. If you want to praise God for His creation, Psalm 19. If you feel a need to repent, you just don't even know where to start, Psalm 32 and 51 are powerful signs of repentance. And you go on and on and on and on. All of these, if you start, in fact, this is one of the things I did one time. I just read through every psalm and I put at the title kind of what was the emotional feeling behind that psalm. Was this a song out of abandonment? Was this a song out of feeling rejected? Was this a song out of praise and thanks for something God had done for them? Because the song is a language of emotion in the Bible more than anywhere else. And they come from a heart that people have. Where they come from the place in their heart that they speak out in praise or in despair or discouragement, but they speak out. And so you can do that as well. You know what? I need to say, Ron, if you could go back. It looks like the doors are locked. Someone can't get in. I'm trying to get in, but they can't get in. Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, Tom. So let me just give you an example. I'm going to start with, and ask you to join with me in prayer, but I'm just going to do some passages in Psalm 18. Okay, so you won't see them up there. I just want to ask you, if you want to turn to it, turn to Psalm 18, and you can watch how I do it. Now, this is the New Living Translation. I'm not exactly using that, but you'll get the idea, okay? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all these things. I'm just going to get started. I'm going to read it as my heart is at this moment. And I'm going to springboard off it, and I'm going to say some things in between and then come right back to the psalm. So you'll get an idea. I'm going to do this several times during today to give you an idea. And I found this is a powerful way to pray, regardless of whether you're feeling discouraged or dry or whatever. It's just a powerful way to pray. It's praying in Scripture. I mean, if God says, if the disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, one of the best ways to learn how to pray is Scripture, right? I mean, how did they pray in Scripture? That's a good example for us. So, why don't you just join me? You can close your eyes if you want. You can look at the words in front of you if you want, Psalm 18. I'm just going to start with verses 1 through 3 and then jump to 27 and then to 46. So, just so you know, I'm jumping around a bit. So, I'm just going to start. Oh Lord, we just love you. We love who you are. We love what you've done for us. Lord, we love the gifts you've given to us. We love the people you've surrounded us with. Lord, we love you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, you are our strength. Praise you, Lord, that you give us strength when we feel weak, that we are in such need of your strength and your power, Lord. to be able to walk with you, to be able to do your will. Lord, praise you that you are our strength. Lord, you are our rock. You are our fortress. You are our Savior. You are the one in whom we find protection. Father, thank you for surrounding us. Thank you for being our protection. Lord, we ask that you would be our rock. You would stand here in front of us, Lord God, and just take the blows that the world sends at us, that the enemy sends at us, Lord God. Deflect them away so that we can stand with you, Lord, and do your work. Lord, we praise you that you are our shield. You are the power that saves us. You are our place of safety. Lord, I'm just so impressed by how you again and again give images of safety throughout your word. Lord, images of protection. So Lord, praise you that you are that for us. Lord, again, be our protection, be our shield, be our safety. Lord, set us in a safe place where we can stand with you. Lord, we call on you. You are worthy of praise. Lord, save us from our enemies. Whatever those might be, Lord, people attacking us, people that don't understand. Lord, spiritual enemies, whatever it might be, Father, would you save us and rescue us? We need you, Lord God. Down to verse 27. Father, I praise you that you rescue the humble, that you humiliate the proud. Lord, may we not be proud before you. May we be humble and dependent upon you this year, Lord God. And when we are proud, would you humiliate us? Father, that is a hard request, but Lord, would you just show us our pride so that we might stand before you or kneel before you or fall before you in humility, that we might be blessed by you, Lord God. We praise you that you light a lamp for us, Lord, that you light up our darkness. And Father, I ask that you would continue to light our path step by step throughout this life. Verse 46, Lord, we praise you that you live. We praise you that you are our rock. May you be exalted, God of our salvation. Thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives and in this church today. We give you thanks. Amen. So that's one example how you can just take a scriptural prayer. Now, I use a lot of springboarding. If you were following me, you saw that I kind of just used a few phrases and then would jump off. Sometimes I'd read a verse or two, and then I'd jump off. So you can read, you know, 5-6 verses before you insert anything personal in there. That's fine. What you're doing is you're praying back to God the prayers that He's given to you. And that's what He says. He's given us prayers. So we can pray those back to Him, both for instruction as well as to get our prayer life started. So I found that helpful, praying back scriptural prayers. Another thing that I found is to pray back just any passage of the Bible. It doesn't have to be prayers. You can actually take any passage of Scripture and pray that back to God. You can use teaching scriptures, for example. You have to be a little kind of fancy with changing some of the words, so I do it especially slowly, especially the pronouns, if you have a little bit. But the idea is to make it personal, to make it about you, or to make it about others. So I often pray this for other people. I often take these scriptures and pray them for others because I want other people to learn some of these ways. So some other passages that are in there, and you can see up above here, like you can use Ephesians 6 for the spiritual armor. And it talks about putting on God's armor. And so, there we go. Putting on God's armor, that's Ephesians 6:10 following. And I know, for example, one person that talks to me, the pastor, he says, I actually put on the armor of God as I shower. He says he starts with the helmet of salvation, and he just moves on to the breastplate of righteousness, and then the belt, the sword, and the belt of truth, and then he goes down to the shoes of peace, and then he, as he's doing his arms, he's praying for the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And that's how he does it every day. And he uses the scripture to put on God's spiritual armor for the day. You can praise. Isaiah 61:10 is just one example. There's tons of examples in there. So that's just one example of a short little passage on praise to God. Or living worthy of God. If you want to pray about living worthy, Lord, help me to live worthy of you. I'm just really struggling in my life. I want to live the way you want me to live. Philippians 1 is a great passage as well. What I didn't put on there, which I use a lot, is actually the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes leads us in that every Sunday. So let me give you an example of how I use the Lord's Prayer. I might not pray the whole thing, but you know it well enough so you don't have to look it up. If you do want to look it up, it's actually in Matthew 6, verses 9 and following. And so you can get it from there. But why don't you just close your eyes with me and join me in just an example of how you can do this. Pray scripture using the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, Father, thank you that you are our Father. It's a word we can stop on for a long time. Lord, what does that mean for you to be our Father? Why is it so hard sometimes to connect to you with that? I don't know, but Lord, sometimes it's hard to feel like a son. But I thank you that you say you are our Father. Well, that's how Jesus started this prayer. You are our Father. That's just amazing. You're in heaven, Lord God, but I praise you, you're not just in heaven, you're in the earth. Lord, you are here with me, you are in me, you are working in me, you are working through me. Hallowed be thy name, you are holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I know that you're concerned with the whole earth, but right now I'm just concerned with me. Lord, with your kingdom come, with your will be done in me as it is in heaven, and us here together as it is done in heaven. Lord, you want to live out your will. Would you show it to us? Lord, would you give us this day our daily bread? Lord, how am I supposed to live for you today? Lord, what do I need for today? What power, what strength, what wisdom, what courage, what love, what compassion? Lord, what do I need for today? Lord, would you forgive me my debts, the sins I've committed against you? Help me as well to forgive others who have committed sins. Me, Lord, I have a hard time with that. It's easier to confess my sins than to let go of others, Lord, to confess that to you. So, Lord, would you give me a forgiving mind? If there's anybody I need to speak to or reconcile with, they would show that to me. Be gone. It's just the way of using Scripture to pray. Now, the third way that I found Scripture really helpful is in all the images Scripture gives, especially the Old Testament. I mean, the Scripture gives lots of images. It doesn't just say God is your protection. It says he's our rock. He's our shield. He's our fortress. He's our mighty warrior. He's our wall of fire. He's our hedge of protection. He shelters us under his wings. He guards us with his angels. And on and on and on and on. He set up cities of refuge. I mean, God talks about protection, but he uses it through imagery. Our God has a creative imagination. I mean, he must have to have created all of us, right? He has this wonderful imagination. And so one of the things I have found is actually using the imagery in Scripture for prayer. And I just call it picture prayer. C.S. Lewis actually was the one who, again, turned me on to this. It's very heavily influenced by C.S. Lewis early in my life. And he actually claims that the most powerful prayers, he believes, were once presented before God in pictures. It's in one of his writings. And I remember being stunned by that. I don't have a very visual inside world. I mean, there's a lot of you who do. That inside, you can picture things, you can visualize things. I'm kind of slow that way. I don't really do that. I'm more verbal, obviously, than a pastor and preacher, right? So, but I'm not so much in here visually. But there are many, many people who are. And this is often something I use and teach to people who are newer to the faith, who have a lot of imagination, is to be able to pray in pictures. You don't even need any words. And I found it to be extremely powerful, and the people who do it have found it very freeing. And they say, you know, I've always thought I had to have all the right words, and so forth and so on, but I can picture them. So, for example, I say to them, you know, don't just pray for someone to have peace. Picture them at peace. Maybe you just present before God a picture of your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, your co-worker, your fellow student, at peace. Just picture God's peace flowing over them. Like it's a peace like a river. So picture like God's peace flowing like a river, water over them. You don't need any words. You know, picture hope. Picture them, you know, they're depressed or discouraged. Picture them with joy starting to bubble up inside of them. Picture like a little fountain starting to bubble up inside of them. You don't need any words. I was thinking of our grandson, Cruz. He's now 16 months now. No, 15 and a half, almost 16. 15 and a half. And my daughter is really into, she was early child development major, so she learned to do sign language as a baby. There's a baby sign language, which is kind of taken off of the regular sign language. And so our grandson now does a lot of that. Like he'll say more, more. But before he could say more, he could do this. Or like he goes, all done, all done. You know, and but before he could say all done, he could do this. And say, are you all done? He goes, like that. And it's funny, our son Eric, he says all of our names, except Eric, our son Eric, and it really distracts Eric. It really annoys him that he can't say things. Our grandson can talk about garbage cans, he can talk about all sorts of things, but he can't say Eric for some reason. So Eric thought, okay, I'm going to do this with sign language. So this is the sign for E. So he goes, Eric, Eric, you know, and kind of this E in a circle as his name. And it's so funny because when he was home for Christmas, and he's like, Eric, Eric? And so we'd say, Cruz, can you say Eric? And he'd just go, like that. And it was just so funny because that's all he knew. He would never say the word. He did it once. But he'd just go like this. And Eric would go, ah! But I go, but Eric, look, he's doing your name. He knows who you are. We point to him. Who's that? He just do that. And it'd just be so cute. And you know, I thought, here he has no words. He has few rudimentary words, you know, birds or TVs, birdies or TVs, stuff like that. Our son-in-law thought it was so cool because he came out and said, Daddy! And he came to him and said, Daddy, that's so great. And then he walked over to the garbage can and he said, Daddy. Our son-in-law didn't think that was so cool to be associated with the garbage can, you know. But you know, he doesn't have a lot of words right now. But just watching him sign and do it without words, it's so endearing to our hearts. You know, you don't need words to endear yourself to God. It can be done through pictures, for example. And if you know sign language, you can do that, I guess. But Scripture is just filled with images. I gave you some. You went a little too far. You can go back now. So, for example, picture frame. There's pictures of angels who guard over us. That's where we get the idea of guardian angels. In this passage right here, Psalm 91:11. A wall of fire around us. And kids on the roof. But there's, God said there's like a wall of fire around us. I just picture that as burning away all that is impure and unholy. You know, I just picture like this standing in a wall of fire, and it's like everything that the enemy sends at me just gets burned up before it even burns. You know, soaring like an eagle. You know that verse, and it was soaring like eagles. But picturing just soaring above it all, just kind of all the garbage down here and all the mess, and just soaring above it all. Have you ever been to soaring over California and Disney? It's a cool image. Soaring up there is beautiful. I love that. Or lying in green fields, Psalm 23. You know, picture someone or yourself. Just, you know, close your eyes and say, Lord, just give me green fields. And just picture yourself just lying there in the meadows. Yeah, so let me just do that for you. Let's just pray. Just take a moment and just picture yourself just right now. There's all this other garbage in your life. There's all these other things. You're going back to school, you're going back to work, maybe tomorrow or the next day. Cleaning up the house after Christmas. Family visiting, and just for a moment, just picture yourself in a green meadow, in a green field with your God, your shepherd. And there in that meadow, you don't want anything or need anything. Everything you need is already there. It's Jesus. Picture, and ask, Lord, what do you want to do with me here in this meadow? What do you want to give me? Tell me. What do you want to be? I just want to rest with me. Father, I pray that as we continue on, you just continue to help us in the midst of this picture, just to receive what you want. For we run to the rushing out, both on that especially, just moving. Lord, help us to be you in this field or somewhere else, Lord God, if you have a picture in your word that, Lord God, is a place to be. Thank you. Now, I would do that longer, but some people. going, but you can do that. So if you can't, don't have any words. Just play pictures. Use scriptural images. Use whatever. But for yourself or others, just pictures. It's very, very powerful. And there's some people I could ask to give testimonies about that, and they would be, you'd be amazed at some of the things that happen. They're very powerful prayers. The last thing I have learned in really using scripture for prayer is blessings on people. And you can see some of the blessings that are up there. Peace, that's Philippians 4, light and truth, Psalm 43:3, I'm going to read that in a second. Hope, Psalm 27. Joy, John 16. But the idea is, there's so many more, but the idea is in the blessing, you're actually, in a sense, taking the role of God. Now that sounds a little presumptuous, but it's interesting. In John 20 or 21, I can't remember, it's either 20, 21 or 21, 20, God says to the disciples, says, those whom you forgive will be forgiven. Jesus was about blessing people. He loved to bless. He blessed the little children. He blessed people. And there's a lot of blessings. If in a more traditional church, at the very end, you may hear the blessing, you know, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and the life everlasting. Amen. I haven't done that in 20 years. I can remember that. I did it a lot of times. But that's like, it's called the Aaronic blessing. And it's just a blessing to invite him at one point. And so it's often used. It's a blessing. I try to give a blessing at the end of each service. So a blessing is, instead of specifically, in a sense, praying to God, you're really doing that, but you're actually pronouncing it over the person. And I found that to be extraordinarily powerful to use scripture to do that, especially if it's accompanied by touch, if the person's okay with it. But just to just say, you know, well, you really seem agitated right now. Let me just pray for some peace on you. I just put my hands, okay, my scripture's over, sure. Just, Lord, you just bless someone with peace. And I just pray peace and start filling your heart. You know, and I actually will bless them from the top of the head to the tip of their toes. And I use Philippians 4. I use that a lot. But let me use Psalm 43:3. It's a very simple verse. It says, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide us. Lord, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide us. And I found light is a very powerful thing to pray about. So let me just pray. So why don't you bow your heads and let me just bless you. Lord God, I praise you that you are the God of light, you are the God of truth, capital L, capital T. And Lord, we pray your blessing now upon each one here. I pray your light would just flow. Lord, may your light flow inside each one of us. I bless you with the light of God to just flow through your mind, to flow through your mind, to just start dispelling the darkness, pushing it further and further back. That light would just penetrate all the dark places, all the corners, all the hidden places inside of your hearts and your minds. And would just flow throughout, and you would be guided by that. I pray that God's light would be a guide for you, that you would walk the path that he set before you. And I pray that God would bless you with this truth. Lord, pour out your truth. Just pour it out upon each one here. May the truth of God chase away the lies and the deceptions and the delusions and the fantasies that we all live with. May it just chase them out, and may you instead be presented with the truth of who Jesus truly is and what he thinks of you and how he cares for you and what he has for you now and in the future. May you understand God's truth and look for truth and let go of all the shabby little substitutes that this world and the enemy wants to use. May truth fill your eyes. May it fill your mouth as you speak truth. May it fill your entire life. Be blessed, God's life, and in his truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I just, like I said, I want to give you something really practical. Scripture is a very powerful, powerful weapon. It's a very powerful instructional tool, but it's also a powerful way for us to pray. Use scriptural prayer. Use teaching prayer, teaching in scripture. Find ways to bless people with scripture. You can do it very briefly. I did it a little bit longer. I just bless your peace. You've got to keep peace upon you. You do it when you shake hands. Make it special, not just a shaking of hand quick, but look people in the eye. I bless you with God's peace. And this picture prayer, if you just don't know what to do, just know that God accepts however we communicate with Him. This is like with our grandson. We don't care how He communicates with us. We love it. God loves it when we communicate with Him. It doesn't matter how. God wants it. So, let me just pray and close. Father, we thank You for this day, and I pray that something, somewhere, like I said, Lord God, was used by You to touch our hearts and minds. And that, Lord God, we would all have a sense of how we can connect with You. Father, I pray that You would give us a deep understanding that we don't have to be limited. Lord, that You don't limit us to just words. We're not, it's not just about words. Lord, it's about our hearts. Father, however You would call us to communicate with You and to show You our love and to cry out to You with our needs, Lord, would You just teach us how we can do that? Set us free from all the old ways we have been thinking, Lord God, if we need them. Lord,